Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Daryl Urbanski, your host, as always. And today we are joined by Mary Shella Ibabahena, a virtual assistant virtuoso, currently shining as the founder of Virtudesk.co. With over 6 years of experience under her belt, Mary specializes in scaling businesses by getting clients on LinkedIn. This requires a combination of skills from appointment setting, client relationship management, social media management, influencer outreach, and copywriting. Today, she channels her eclectic skills into recruiting and hiring. I've asked her to join us here today to understand how to run efficient remote teams and be better at social selling. So, Mary, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing?
I am doing well. Thank you, Daryl. That was such an amazing introduction. I'm honored to be here.
Yeah, it's an honor and pleasure to have you here. Now, before we get into the whole social selling, remote team stuff, I always like to ask, how did you even get into kind of online marketing or marketing and sales in general? Are your parents entrepreneurs? Were they in advertising and sales? Is this a family business? Did you sit around the dinner table as a kid and your dad would be like, Mary, sell me this pen?
Good question. Not exactly. We were raised by a very traditional family. My dad was the only one who worked. And my mom, if she needed more money, she would bake cakes and she would sell them to her friends, or she would cook. And then it's in the Philippines, we have what we call food stalls. And as I was growing up, my mom had some food stalls wherein people buy lunch package from her. And then if it's not that, the cakes, the pastries. And then my dad was a banker. Fortunately, they were able to save good money to get us on in a really nice schools. So I was in St. Teresa's College from elementary up until I was in high school. And then in my college years, I took up psychology. And right. That's probably where my marketing and sales were honed.
Right.
Because the more you understand people, the better you are at marketing and also client relationships.
Can you explain that a little bit? A lot of our listeners might already know, but why does psychology help you improve your marketing and sales skills?
Psychology is about knowing the behavior of people. And when you're trying to sell a product, when you're trying to build a relationship, you have to know the buying behavior of people. And based on my study in psychology, you will be able to better understand how the brain functions by the behavior of each individual, what the person is trying to tell you just by not even saying anything. It's already telling you something. And when someone is not yet ready to buy, but then when you are able to uncover why they are not ready to buy, you are able to sell properly. And it's not even just selling. It's about letting them know that they really need it. And that's what psychology is all about.
I love that. For people that can't, I'm skipping ahead here, but for people that don't have time to do a four-year undergrad in psychology, what would you recommend to someone who's starting out and struggling? Like, this sounds primary, but what do I do?
If we are not going to LinkedIn yet and just practicing selling by building relationships, you would have to be a people person. You just need to love people, because the more you interact, the more you surround yourself with people and not afraid to chat with them and build small talks or relationships with them, the better that skill can be honed.
Because people do business with other people, it sounds like. So it sounds you're talking about a lot about, you have to meet people, you have to chat with them, you have to have conversations about anything that you connect on, mutual interest, in order to then be able, for people that are listening, there's kind of two parts to any sale. There's opening up the sales conversation and there's closing the sale. So it sounds like, if I were to extrapolate what I know now, if I were new, it would say that you need to meet people, you need to be able to have conversations with them and have them welcome you as a friend when you talk to them. And then you need to be able to figure out a way to open up the conversation about what you might be able to help them with in a non-sleazy, salesy way. And then if they seem like they need help, you need to then, almost consultative selling-wise, not convince them, but you need to, almost like a counselor, walk them through asking questions if they should do it and if they should do it now and close the sale. So there's opening the sale and closing the sale, but those two are enhanced by having the audience as someone that sees you as a welcome guest, warm acquaintance. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes, definitely. And sometimes some people don't really want to be asked. So for those type of people that don't want to be asked, you would just have to be honest with them because they welcome honesty. So if you have a product already and then that person is methodical, you cannot sway them into relationships. You just have to be straight up to them.
Yeah, some guy did that to me last night. I actually, an alumni of my program, my Happy Hero program, he's got a group that he's doing very well. And he tagged me in a post in that group. I didn't even really know I was in that group, but I just saw, tagged me in the thing. And then 2 minutes later, somebody hit me up in DMs. And I, out of love, I gave this guy a shot because this guy was like, hey, we're both in this group and we're both friends with this person. Hey, what's up? How are you? Good. Where are you from? And I'm like, check my profile. This guy was asking things this is Facebook. What do you want to know? I've got 12 years of history on Facebook. You're going to ask me where I'm from? If you really care, you would click and go. So I was like, bro, how can I help? And he said, no, he said, where are you from? And I said, how can I help you? And he said, oh, I don't need help. I'm here to collaborate. And I went, okay. And then he repeated, where are you from? And I was like, look, man, I'm going to be straight. I don't have time for this small talk. You reached out to me because I either have or know something you want. So spit it out. That's what I had to tell that to him. This was like out of love. I was like, spit it out, brother. What do you got? And because that's exactly it. I think that's a great point. You can't. People skills.
That's yes.
Point. So it sounds like you actually had a pretty decent background in the sense of your dad was a banker. So he worked in finance and money, which is the lifeblood of a business. And your mom was a small business owner. She was an entrepreneur. So you saw her run multiple food stalls. So it sounds like you did get a crash course in this sort of stuff, maybe via osmosis as a kid.
That's a good take on it. However, I wasn't really focused on observing what they were doing because as a kid, what you're mostly concerned about is just playing. And I was always playing, being creative. And the good thing about my parents is they never told me not to be myself. If I wanted to explore something, I was okay to explore it. The only thing that probably they weren't very happy about was because I was more of very sporty. And I think they didn't like that because they didn't want me to get injured or something. They always just wanted me to just stay at home, be creative, if that's what you want to be. But don't go out too much because you might injure yourself and we're not there to protect you.
Yeah, it's a catch-22 with growing kids. You want them to go out in the world and succeed, but you don't want to let them go out in the world and succeed because there are creatures in the dark and evil does exist and children are targets. Yeah. So what is your career then? How did you went to school, you graduated via psychology?
And what happened after that?
Yeah, like how did that translate into now helping grow and scale businesses? What happened in that gap?
So I was first a personal trainer because as I've told you, I was very sporty and that was something that I couldn't get out of my system growing up because my parents just wanted to protect me. So I was like, now I'm ready. I'm going to explore the sporty side of me. And I was selling personal training in Fitness First, Ayala in Cebu. And that was really very difficult because you would need to have a quota of, I think, 10 people to sell the personal training business. And then at 21, it's something that you couldn't really sell yet because you're just 21 years old and then you're selling a 20,000 peso personal training package. So I wasn't that good at that yet, but then the more you don't get how to sell yet, the more you want to learn it. So I started to understand how to sell packages and then started to really say, if this isn't something I'm good at, I can always learn it. But then after that, I thought maybe I'd go to Marco Polo because in Marco Polo, there wasn't selling involved anymore. So I was a Marco Polo gym and hotel personal trainer. So I didn't need to sell. I just needed to give people basic exercise services because they don't really need to be personal trained. And then I was 27 when I started to become really ambitious. And I was telling myself I need to have a career because the personal training business at that time was not that good in Cebu. So I'm like, okay, time to go to the call center industry. And then I became a trainer. So I trained people for communications, I trained people for product, and then eventually get into sales because I realized that the money I get from training people and the money I get from being a sales agent was actually more. So I'm like, why not get the stress out of training people? I was working 12 to 14 hours every day. Even Saturdays and Sundays, I was still working 12 to 14 hours. So
Wow.
I'm like, yeah, why not be a sales agent, be really good at it, just work 8 hours and then take home maybe 25 to 28,000 per month, because that's how much you would take home before everything really scaled in the online world.
That was
So
great
that's
income, and like years ago, it's still a good income in the Philippines now. For people that don't know, it's probably, what is that? It's around 700 to 1,000, something like that, US.
700 US.
Yeah, got it. Okay, so you got into sales,
I
you were
got into.
big BPOs, and then what?
And then after that, everything became so hectic in Cebu. I think you were probably here already when that happened. IT Park had a Vida Riala. So that condominium really grew. IT Park grew. And it was just bad. The traffic was bad. When you get to the call center building, you're going to be tired. And the back and forth, even if you live close by, it would take you maybe an hour to commute. And I wasn't a
On
fan
those
of it.
motorcycles, those guys, they like, sorry, I just remember I saw my light flash before my eyes a couple of times on those motorbike guys.
How
Sorry.
about
What?
Hava?
How about is that what they are? I forget what they're called. They don't, yeah.
So, yeah, if you remember those days, and then those were also very dangerous. It's not the safest way to commute.
No, and they're in it for the speed. Their whole thing is volume. So they're like, for people that don't know, when you get in a taxi, if your cab driver is driving crazy, you'd be like, hey, but these guys on a motorbike, that's the whole point. Like, you're taking a motorbike because it's cheaper and they're going to weave through the traffic. So you can't complain about them weaving through the traffic, even if you're worried and feeling your knees and feet scrape cars as they go. Yeah. So I get it. I fully get it. But you won't get anywhere in Cebu if you're not on one of those things. Like you said, even if you live nearby, you're almost better off to walk.
Definitely. So I thought maybe I just would start up my career 2017 online and then build from there. And after which I started assisting business coaches already and then moved into real estate. It was also appointment setting for 8 months with Fulton. And then after that, I went into social media for influencers. And after which I also did appointment setting for business coaches and then appointment setting for healthcare. I even did personal training too as a coach and also as a personal training sales agent.
And that was
That
kind of freelance, where you were working for yourself.
yes, it's working for yourself really. So you'd have to have a lot of clients because if you don't, then you won't be able to really sustain the life of a digital note.
And it sounds like during this time, you've just developed a really good skill, both by being trained by other people and having to do it for yourself, and getting clients and signing them up and doing it. remotely, because you're not selling people face to face, kneecap to kneecap, are you?
No, but sometimes you get to meet the clients in person sometimes because they come to the Philippines.
Yep.
And then sometimes you just get referred since they've met you and they trust you.
That's an important part. They've met you and they trust you. What are some, for people that are listening, that are like, okay, I'm trying to grow and have an online business. I don't know how to get clients. Maybe they're someone like a hypnotherapist or who knows. What would you explain if you had to teach someone are the fundamentals of generating leads and sales online?
Great question. So first off, they would have to make sure that their LinkedIn profile stands out from all the rest. So they would need to put in their experience, a good professional picture, and then some posts about what they do so that they can be trusted by the people who are looking at their profile. And then also put themselves in groups, add themselves as members, connect with the people there, reshare posts of people that they believe are really sharing good posts, and then talk to other people. It doesn't need to be volume outreach. What you need to do is really build a connection, and then after which send them a DM, and then really talk about what they do. And after that, you would also need to send probably 10 DMs per day or 20 if they have more time. And also reshare your own posts to the groups that you've joined. If you do that consistently, eventually people will be able to build a relationship with you and like. Depends on what you post, but it should have to be a post that connects with people's interest. So a combination of posts that have stats about the program that you do. It would also have to be about family, about your friends, about your daily activities, what you do sometimes when you work, and how it can benefit the people that you want to sell the program to.
Let me recap that. First, you have to, sounds like LinkedIn, you have to have your LinkedIn profile stand out. You need a professional picture. You need to be posting posts about what you do, probably ideally client results or relevant kind of tips and tricks, interesting information. And for people that don't quite get it, it's almost like a fishing concept where if I'm trying to catch a certain type of fish and that fish eats frogs, I'm not going to catch them with a worm on my hook. If you're trying to attract people that are experiencing a certain type of problem, you need to be talking about those problems and sharing stories of people that have solved them or tips and tricks to solve that problem.
Exactly.
Sounds like then you say join groups. This is because you have to go where the people are.
Mm-hmm.
With people in the group, engage, reshare good posts from those groups. So you're not just selfish talking about it all the time. Then when you say chat with people, send DM to talk about what they do, 10 to 20 DMs per day. This all just sounds like just being social on social media. So when do you sell your product, Mary? How do I make sales with this? What's going on?
People need a virtual assistant because most men, especially men, they cannot be deeply connected with others because men are methodical. Men like strategies. And if you're going to sell your product, it has to be a woman presenting that. And so with a virtual assistant who's more social, who's more dynamic, and really loves to talk to people, that would be something that a business owner would need. And if I'm talking to business owners, I'm going to tell them, this is what I do. And do you see how efficient that is? Do you see how good that is? Because if it's a woman selling your product, it has more of a personal touch to it.
Is it a challenge to sell different types of products and programs? Can you sell anything anybody has?
Yes, because there are other ebooks. I also tried selling resistance bands before, and even slimming coffees. I've tried selling those too. To me, it's not very challenging because naturally, if you can't probably tell, I'm very dynamic. So I do a lot of things. And when people look at me and see what I sell, they know that I'm using it. So it's easy for them to really get it because they know that it has worked for me. Why would it not work for them?
And what do you think are some of the biggest mistakes that you see people making? You said you worked with a lot of business coaches and realtors and real estate. You even sold resistance bands. So when people come and they're like, hey, okay, I'm going to generate leads and sales off LinkedIn, what are the biggest mistakes that you see them making?
Not putting personality to what they're selling and not connecting with people, not having that joy and the spirit of giving. Because to me, selling is not selling because I want to get your money. Selling is about giving. And once you have that spirit of giving, you draw people in. And I think that's how we should do it all the time.
That sounds so great. I feel like there's also an unspoken, not sexy, 80-20 critical component to this that you already mentioned, but many listeners may, and you can let me know what you think. So first, I agree with everything that you said. So I have no, I'm not disagreeing with anything. But for people listening, I think that one of the most powerful, one of the most important parts of everything that you said is the sending 10 to 20 DMs per day.
Of course, consistent and doing that, of course.
That is a mission critical, essentially.
Exactly.
In my experience, and I'm not, a lot of sales problems can be solved with greater, better prospecting. That is almost like a dirty word in sales. Everybody wants to have the conversation, to talk to the person, to close the deal. Talk about appointment setting. A lot of these people, and maybe that's a great strategy. That is a great strategy. Having someone that can have the conversations to find the gems in the rough, to book the appointments for the calls. But the real magic, and maybe the unsung heroes in a lot of cases, are the people that are kissing the frogs looking for that prince. The princess and the frog, not the Disney movie, but they say you got to kiss a lot of frogs to find your prince. And that's work. It's hard to say. There's automation that comes to play. Maybe we can speak to that. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Can automation help with some of this? Where does it go right? Where does it go wrong?
I have never used any automation. I would comment my own. I would create my own posts and has all done it organically. And the only success, yes, you're correct. I even do more than 20 sometimes when I'm not busy, maybe even up to 50 at times. But I think there's just maybe some, Jan tells me it's because of my personality. It might be hard to copy, but I think that's also something that you need to find for the person who will do that for you. They need to be really people person, and they really would love to talk to others and really give. And that's, to me, that has been my secret so far.
And how, again, for people that are listening, because there's a lot of people that get this, or what am I trying to say? For example, I had a past guest on my show who I learned was using LinkedIn, and their basic strategy was send connection requests. When it's accepted, send a follow-up message telling them that they're interesting and that they may have valuable contacts for them, booking them onto a qualification call, trying to book that into a sales call. Now, for this group, it didn't work very well. One thing is they needed 10 profiles, and it just, and I can, and maybe this is just the nature of the beast. Because this is my question. When I interview people and I invite them to be on my podcast, we send no reminders. We book some appointments a month out in advance, maybe two. And I have a 95% show up. Talking with this gentleman and seeing, because I was consulting with them for, and it felt like a churn and burn. And it felt like the leads could tell as well. And they had abysmal show up rates, abysmal closing rates. And I guess my question is it the strategy that was flawed, Or is it the offer, perhaps?
I think it's both.
So what's a better strategy?
So I think that your strategy I'm always saying this, but it should give the reflection that you're giving them something and that what you're giving them will solve their problem. And then the show rates will come kick in when you're giving them follow up. And I think that guest was probably not doing as the best follow ups for the clients.
Yeah, I'm curious because I know people do it. I know there's a big market in that, in the LinkedIn. And I know that I get a ton of DMs on LinkedIn all the time where it's, hi, buy my stuff. Hi, buy my stuff. Hi, buy my stuff. Hi, buy my stuff. And I think that social outreach is similar to cold email outreach and they work. And I guess my question for you and even the audience wants to know is, what are the most successful people doing differently? You've alluded to it. You've spoken about it indirectly. But to really hit the nail on the head, if you were to give a prescription, what would that prescription be?
Build a very good professional LinkedIn profile. That's the first one. And then create posts that really resonates with the audience. And then let them know that you can take care of them. And then the third one is when you talk to them like you're not taking, just giving. And then make sure that if they're not ready to sell, don't bug them. Ready to buy, don't bug them, but offer them support. So that's why we have the free LinkedIn blueprint, that if they're not yet ready to take in a virtual assistant for their business, they can do it themselves. They could definitely download the profile, the strategy that we have. And just in case they feel like, oh, it's something that's already too much for me to take, then that's when they realize that, yeah, I really do need a virtual assistant. So help me out.
I love that. So you're hitting on a couple of really key points here. One is that Chet Holmes hit a great book. It was like the something sales machine. It was like the automated sales machine, something like that. But in his book, talked about that only 3% of the market are ready to buy now.
Correct.
At any time, only 3% are going to buy now. Of those three, those even that are ready to buy now, people buy when they're ready to buy. Not when they're ready to sell. Not when you're ready to sell. So they only buy when they're ready to buy, not when you're ready to sell. So part of that, and this is a psychological term, but is recency bias. When they do decide to buy, they tend to turn to the most recent people related to the purchase they're looking to make, the most recent people they've interacted with.
Okay. Makes
sense. Recency bias. So it's, if they need dentist work, it's not that they remember the best dentist that they've met in their lives. They think about the dentist that they've seen most recently that they turned. And the other part is, you talked about feed the do-it-yourselfers as best you can until they basically fail, not because you haven't tried to help, but because they're refusing to do it properly and get the best tools, best help. And if they manage to fumble through on their own, great. But it sounds like, again, give. And you're using this giving in your posts and all this sort of stuff to, one, remain recent in their minds. Two, to help solve them. Because if they just need a quick tweak fix and they're going to have a win, there's no long-term relationship there for you both anyhow. But by loving on them, if somebody else was experiencing a problem, they'll always refer you. Perfect example. I invited someone to my podcast. He's a Facebook ads guy. And he was referred to me because he had helped another friend of mine. And it was exactly that. He gave him something for free and helped him. And as a result, when I was asking about, hey, I want to bring another, he said, hey, you should talk to that guy. He's really good at what he does. And he genuinely helps people do business.
There you have it.
I love that.
So there you have it. That tells you that selling is not that difficult when you nurture people and you nurture the leads that you have.
I love that. So it sounds, yeah, that's fine. I think that's great. Now, what do you see as the future of the industry? There's a lot of disruption happening. There's AI, there's geopolitical issues. There's a lot happening in the world, economic issues. Where do you see the future of your industry in 5-10 years? Is this going to change? Are we all going to be chatting with AI bots?
Good question. I never felt any, in my opinion, if you've been in the industry for a very long time, people would still need you because you've mastered it. But for those that probably have mastered it and then they utilize AI because they now know how to feed AI because they're masters of their craft, then they're the people who don't need it. But for people that are just starting out, they would need someone who can build with them and collaborate with them to boost it up. So maybe in 6 to 10 years trajectory, that's the only time where they could be masters of their craft and they could do it themselves.
I like that. Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. I think it's a tool. It's not necessarily a replacement. A lot of people perhaps had the same fears when calculators came out, because before we had calculators, people needed to do the math. And then when calculators came out, you didn't need an afternoon to do all the math. You could just put in the calculator and get the result. And so we just have better tools, and it changed the nature of bookkeeping and accounting forever. Spreadsheets did the exact same thing. Before spreadsheets, it was all paper. There wasn't a computer. And now it's revolutionized. And so I feel like in some ways, I agree with you that some people might be alarmists and also overhyping it because they may have financial interest for the result. But ultimately, it's a better tool. And we didn't get rid of bookkeepers and we didn't get rid of accounting. It just evolved. And some people did have to get retrained, or they did have to learn a new skill or that sort of thing. But it didn't, there weren't, what I'm trying to say, it wasn't a finite, definitive end to an industry.
Exactly.
It was an evolution. I think that's super.
Exactly.
I think it's just some of the habits that you yourself and your most successful clients, you feel, have helped and had consistently?
Very good question. I would say it has to be, first, have a really good night's sleep. That's number one. And then after having a really good night's sleep, build a really good strategy and have someone help you with it. Because you cannot, if you're just going to do it yourself and no one is supporting you, the complementary of that execution may not be executed, because in execution, there has to be someone who's structured. There has to be someone who's creative in facilitating it. So there has to be two people doing it so that there's complementary. And then the third one is test it out and then refine it based on what you've tested it with. After having it refined, and then you feel that the stats are able to generate what you truly wanted from that strategy, stay consistent. Don't change it until there's another thing that you want out of it. And after that, just get referrals, because now that you've built yourself, have helped a lot of people, referrals are just going to come in.
I love this so much. What you just said is probably one of my fires. It's something that we do in my program. We call it the 7-step fast cash plan that works. That's literally what you walk through. It's literally what you walk through. The 7 steps we have are: one, identify a group of people sharing a specific problem you can fix. Think scary. Step two, find or create a product or service. Note, a job is a business with one product, your time, and one customer, your boss. Step three, create a multi-step promotion describing it and its benefits, following the 7 P's. Step four, run a test. Reach out to 100 ideal prospects one-on-one via phone, face-to-face, or real-time social chat. You're asking, would you or anyone need help with problem? Or would you or anyone result you delivered? Step five, analyze results. Step six, if results are good,
stick to it.
Reach out to another 100 ideal clients. If the results are not good, improve your product or service or promotion and start again. Step seven, if results are still good, keep rolling out and take care of business. So it really sounds like you've mastered this and have this down to a pat. And it sounds like the key principles are looking the part. If I'm looking to get my car fixed and I go to a garage and the guy comes out and he's got really nice dress shoes and he's got a nice flashy boss, Hugo Boss suit on, and his fingernails are clean and cut, and he's got a slick haircut, and he's just flawless. Everything's pressed, and he wants to fix my car. I'm probably not going to go to him because he's making lots of money. He's not fixing lots of cars. I want the grease monkey in coveralls that spent the whole day just soaking in oil and turning wrenches. So look, number one, talk about problems that you solve and the results clients get and news in the industry, and reach out, consistently prospect. I love 10, 20 to 50 people a day.
Every day. Yes, even on Saturdays and Sundays. Oh, and I forgot to mention, even when it was holidays in the States and then holidays in Canada, also on New Year's Eve, Christmas Eve, oh my gosh, that would take you such a long way, because this is where you should be building when people are resting.
Yes, yes. Jim Rohn said that. He said that, I think it was Jim Rohn. He said that, I always found that rainy days were the best days to go out and get sales because all the other salesmen were at home.
And that's has been my secret so far. When everyone was asleep, I was working. And before COVID happened and the industry for virtual assistant didn't boost yet, I was working, did not go out for 2 years, wasn't dating for 2 years, because I really wanted to build my virtual assisting skills. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what people should be doing. Build when everyone is sleeping.
Yeah, that's a martial arts saying. When you're not training, someone else is, to kick your ass. That whole, people don't get that. Like our society now, I'm going to get on a soapbox, but our society right now, it's like the people that are, we'll say, winning, they've adopted a strategy to ensure their legacy and that they can keep winning by, I feel like, I'm going to copy C.T. Fletcher on this, by creating a culture of pacifier-sucking pussies, victim meant to use every label and excuse that they can to make up for their lack of results. And we've lost this culture of grit, determination, personal responsibility, personal accountability, and of character development, of building yourself up. I feel like that's something that's being lost. And I'm painting a broad strokes, not everybody, right? Work hard in silence, let results make the noise. Hard work is all the work you do when you're sick and tired from all the hard work you just finished doing. And hard work will always beat talent when talent refuses to work hard. And I think I just agree with everything you've said. This has been a great conversation, Mary. Great call. Is there anything I haven't asked you that I should have asked you?
Not at all. You've taken in everything that I've done to help your audience. And I hope I was able to give them some tips on how they could build their LinkedIn profile and get more clients. And it was also a pleasure meeting you and talking to you about this, because I think that we resonate with a lot of topics here.
I agree wholeheartedly. If people want to learn more, if they want to get in touch, if they have questions or need help with their LinkedIn marketing, where should they reach out?
They could always reach out to me via LinkedIn. I'm always active.
Also, go to vertidesk.co. Look
for Mary Sheila. I wrote it down. Wait, Mary Sheila Mahina. M-A-R-Y, Sheila, S-H-E-L-A-H, Ibalie, Y-B-A-L-E, B-A-H-E-N-A. If you just search Mary Bahena, M-A-R-Y-B-A-H-E-N-A, you know it's her if she's in Cebu, VA. And of course, her profile is very optimized to help you with your LinkedIn marketing. Mary, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your knowledge and giving freely. I think there's a lot of people that will benefit from this call. They may want to listen to it more than once. And just thank you for coming and sharing with my audience and I, knowing you have your own followers, your own staff, your own clients, your own family to take care of. Thank you for coming and sharing with everyone here so we can all do a little bit better.
My pleasure. Thank you too. You have a great day.